Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful to be with you on this third day of May 2020 as we take a look at how do I live now with the virus and every boy, am I getting the questions. It's really interesting, and I'm very grateful that there is such interest, and I am honored that people write me with these questions about how to live with the virus and all of that. So we'll take a look at some of this, and some of it is common sense, but others of it is difficult. I want to make an announcement that for those of you who would like, we are making our breath journal that I do every month, which is the major publication of Aspire, a gift to those of you who are shut in and would like something more, maybe noble to read, more virtuous to read. It's there online for you at aspire.org. It is absolutely free, and I'm honored to be able to do this. Took a little finagling on our website, but we got her done, and there you are, and I hope that you enjoy it. I hope it helps you, and that's really what's important. So let's get to the questions right now. The first one comes from Anne in Michigan, and she says, how do I live now? What do you suggest we do now? I'm cooped up in my house with my family. It is not pleasant. Anne. Anne, every day I read on the net in our local, you know, rag that we have here, how people are fighting with their families. They're cooped up. I just find it interesting, you know, everything in this country is about family. And yet all these families are having difficulty. There's abuse going on both with the kids and with the mates and mother and father, that is. And I'm astonished at the whole idea that there is such an issue with a family. I thought this was what everybody wanted. At least that's what everybody talks about. We don't get along with our families. We don't get along with a lot of things in this world. We are very set in our ways. We're not into the harmonics of oneness, and it's hard to be at one when you haven't practiced anything really spiritual in your life. You haven't practiced meditation. You haven't practiced insight. It's very difficult. So, Anne, you know, stay away from the troublemakers in your family. And if you can't do that because you're all cramped together or whatever, I have no real suggestion for you. I mean, I'm sorry, I don't. You can play games, you can read, you can, you wouldn't want to meditate. You could cook, you really wouldn't want to meditate. You know, you wouldn't want to read or do anything that would be a change. What I would do if I were you, Anne, and I'm only Greg, so you can't, you know, listen to me and forget about this, but I would think of ways to uplift my life when this was all over. I would be looking at my livingness, and I would be asking myself, am I happy? Am I doing what's important to me? Is my work a joy, or am I just getting through work? I'd be looking at a lot of different things, trying to understand what's really going on with me, in my world, in my life. I'd be looking at the state of my life and what it's all about for me. I would maybe start making some changes. I would be looking at some things I could do, maybe a new career or something, or I would be looking at my career in a different way. I've been doing a lot of counseling, and I do counseling with some therapists, and they're just beset, literally, by the negativity of the American public. And you can't cure them off of the wild turkey that they live off of, all of this hate and fear that's pent up inside. They won't cathart or do any kind of catharsis. So they just live in hate and fear, and that's what they do. That's all they do. They watch movies, vengeful movies, vengeance movies, maybe I should say. They watch terrible things, people being killed on TV and all that stuff. And they read about their president, who is constantly making an ass of himself, and then get all riled up about that. And then they fight with their fellow roommates, whether they be friends or family. It's all ugly. I wouldn't do any of that. I would remove myself from all of that, and I'd use the time for introspection. And that's what this time is, introspection. What am I going to do with the rest of my life? What do I want to do with the rest of my life? What is important for me to do with the rest of my life? That's what I'd be looking at. I wouldn't be looking at all the other stuff. I would be looking at the stuff that makes love possible in me. And I would be looking at it maybe from another point of view. Now, everything I am saying right here, Anne, is something that most people would never think of doing and quite possibly can't do. They just can't do it. So that leaves you with nothing but doing the things that make your life regretful. So here's my advice. If you're not going to do any of the things I suggested, which I imagine you actually would never do, you have to ask yourself, am I going to say or do anything that I am going to deeply regret later on in my life? Now, at the time, a person can be very cavalier and say, I'm not going to regret telling, you know, my sister or my brother or my mother or my father, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's fine. But think about it. Later on, is this going to add to how I feel about myself? You know, people will say to me, I don't feel, you know, right about myself, or I don't feel good about myself, and I don't know why. I hear this all the time in session work. And the reason why is because most people make a decision about something they're going to say and do that they wish they had not said and done weeks later, months later, years later. And it sticks in our craw. It sticks in our unconscious mind is really what it does. And it stays there. And it, you know, moves around like a cancer. And it just lights up the human mind and psyche with all sorts of pandemic ugliness inside of us. We start to learn how to rationalize our evil. And that is the worst thing I learned to do. I had every right to do this. I had every right to say that. All these things that we think, say, and do. And we think we have every right. And that could be true, you know. That could be true. But it also could be handled in other ways. And sometimes you have to really think, am I doing this or saying this to really be helpful? Or am I doing it and saying it to be important or powerful? Or what am I doing? What am I doing and saying? I would really look at that aspect of myself. Am I going to say and do things I wish I hadn't said and done? And if you can kind of stick to that and understand that a little bit, understand how that works in you, understand the arrogance, the ego of it all, that might temper things at home. It's just a suggestion. It doesn't always work. There is no one thing that works for everything. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I could say that to you, but what good would that do? You just really have to look at things from the point of view of is this something I want to live out for the rest of my life? Because everything we do, every single thing we do, every nuance of what we do matters. And it affects our life one way or another, either here, there, or over there. It does. And I hope that you have ears to hear and eyes to see and are wise enough to read between the lines here with me. And thank you for your question. Take good care of yourself, and please forgive me. Namaste. This next question is a dilly whopper. I'm going to go back to normal no matter what happens. I'm going to, as you say in your radio programs, eat, drink, and be merry, no matter what. This is Raymond from Los Angeles. Raymond, I don't know how old you are. I don't know if you're a Gen Xer or you're a millennial. Every morning when I get up after my little practice, my meditation, and I have do some work and have a little breakfast, I read the paper, as it were, on the internet. And this morning, I couldn't ignore this one. I just couldn't. It's about a group of guys. excuse me. I don't know how old they are. They got together. I think there were seven of them, and they were in Santa Cruz, where around where I live, and they went out and started drinking and sitting on the street drinking, getting drunk. Police came, fined them $1,000 apiece. When I hear these stories, and I've heard them from other millennials that I do counseling with, their friends are all saying, you know, I'm going to stay home and stay drunk, and by the time this whole thing is over, I'll be an alcoholic. That's the big joke. But it's not a joke, because they already are an alcoholic. Playing with alcohol and drugs during this time is a very foolish thing to do. A lot of people are joking around about liquor stores. They're essential here. You can have a liquor store and be open. Marijuana, you know, stores, they're open. Anything that deals and alters the human psyche a little bit so we can live with ourselves and maybe live with others is essential. Booze, pot, things like that, very important to people. Wine, that whole thing. Everything that alters a person's actions or personas, numbs them out enough to where they can live their life, maybe with themselves or others. This is the way people are. We don't take care of ourselves. We don't take care of our mind. We don't take care of our bodies. We don't take care of our psyches. We don't take care of anything that pertains to the inner because we don't think we have to. We don't think we should, and we don't think we have to. So we overeat, we drink, we smoke pot, meaning people, we the people, not Greg Penn. And this is the way we live our lives. We don't take care of the most important asset we have in the beginning of our life, which is our mind. We just throw it to drugs and alcohol. So, Raymond, what can I say to you? Really, you're not going to listen to me. No one, sober or whatever, doesn't listen to me, but this is the way you're living. This is what you're going to cast your fate to, your life to. This is it. This is the way you're going to move through life, being drunk or high on pot. You say, I'm going back to normal no matter what. Well, I don't know to what degree you're talking about. Around here, if you go out and get drunk or you group with people and have a little cocktail party or whatever, you're gonna either get fined or go to jail. That's just the way it is around here. I don't know where it is around where you live. I really don't know. But what I do know is you have a problem, a huge one. And maybe this virus thing and being quarantined as we are is showing us the mental and emotional illnesses that we all have that we just refuse to take care of. Maybe we're being shown a lot of things here we don't like to see. And maybe all of this is happening over and over and over again in our lifetime. And we're being shown the kind of people we have, so to speak, enabled ourselves to be, where we don't like ourselves. We can't deal with who and what we are. So we try to alter our state of mind by becoming drunk or high. I've never really understood this. A lot of my friends did this when I was in high school. College, I was too busy trying to survive to even acknowledge or know who was doing what. I was totally out of it. But I never understood altering your consciousness or your mind because you didn't like the thoughts you had, or you didn't like where you were, or you didn't like your lifestyle. You're here to change your life, to bring it up, to evolve, to transcend the human body, to transcend your thoughts and your beliefs. You're here to let go of all of that you might leave this body different than the way you came in. Let's just put it that way. But that makes no sense to the average person because they're so busy trying to deal and cope with the person they've become because they gave in to their genetic nature, how their ancestors lived. And I will hear these things from people. My own students will say, well, I can't help it. I just didn't think about it. Why didn't you think about it? Why aren't you coping with your life? Well, it isn't easy to cope with my life, people will say to me. And I will say, well, then how come you don't transcend it? Well, why should I? I can't. These are the things I believe in. And they'll talk about the things that they believe in. And those are the very things they won't let go of, which are the very things that made them feel miserable in the first place about who they are and what they are. Will they challenge that? Will they change that? No, they will not. They just keep it going and going and going and going. They won't break out of their little structure of philosophy of, well, when the going gets tough, you take a drink. When the going gets rough, you take a puff of marijuana. They don't want to deal with themselves. They don't want to deal with the lack of their discipline. And they reduce their intelligence down. Don't think that drinking and smoking doesn't hurt your body and affect your brain. It does. And you can read about it on the internet. I've read about it for years. And even when I pose this to people, they don't care. I have had friends and ex-students who are bipolar. Lots of bipolar people in this world. And they came into the practice to try maybe to control their bipolar mentality. Some of them wouldn't admit they were bipolar, but they were and still are. And the only way they could contain it was with marijuana. That's the way they dealt with it. And drinking, both. They had to have them in concert with each other. And I can't help that. You know, there is no way I'm going to be able to say to a person, discipline yourself, practice catharsis, practice meditation, watch your breath, be diligent. They're not going to do it. And in many cases, they'll think they can't. But you can. In every case, you can. Everybody can. They just won't. It does take real discipline. And the older you are, the more discipline it will take and the more difficult it is for a lot of people, because that's just the way it is. You've lived a long time the way you wanted to live, the way you wanted to live, and how you wanted to live. So it makes it all the more difficult. Raymond, I wish you well. I really do. But I think you're on the wrong path. And there is nothing I could think, say, or do clever enough, smart enough to make you think, oh, I shouldn't do that. So I'm going to say, party on, bud. Party on till you can't anymore. And when you finally get to the place where you realize this lives you rather than you living it, maybe, just maybe, maybe you'll do something about it. But the chances are not great. I wish you well, Raymond. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question. I'm going to live free again, aren't I? Aren't we? Thomas. And he does not tell me where he lives. Thomas, I'm not a soothsayer. I'm really not. I look at everything and I think what's going on now actually is good for us. I really do. I think it's very good for us to look at what's going on in ourselves, in our world, in our life, to take some stock in what's going on in our world, in ourselves, in our life, and to understand it, to feel it, to take a look at maybe we aren't the people we thought we were. Maybe we aren't as smart as we thought we were. Maybe we're not as wise as we believed ourselves to be. Maybe our ways, our old ways, don't work anymore. Maybe there's something else or something different that needs to happen in our life that is not happening. Just maybe. Maybe this is a time for what I call course correction. Just maybe. And if I am correct in all of this, the wise person, as I said to Anne, will use this time very wisely. I don't think we'll ever go back to what you would call normal. This will pinch a lot of people. The bravery of the men and women in New York City, the nurses, the doctors, the caregivers, the ambulance drivers, the fire people, the police, everybody, the mayor, the governor Cuomo, who has done a fabulous job, in my opinion, and looks to me to be very presidential in a way in which he has compassion and intelligence. And I look at all of this and I think, well, maybe this will, you know, set the bar in a different place. But when you have people who just want to get high and drink and do whatever they want to do, disrupt their own life with drugs, alcohol, and stupid beliefs that have nothing to do with the way, the truth, and the light, I don't know what will happen. Human beings are a mixed bag. They really are. There's no way to determine the future of our country. There's just no way to do it. And there's no way to determine how we're going to live our lives in this world other than the way we're living our lives. So we will see. I don't know. But if I were thee, I said this to Anne and Raymond, I say it to you, Thomas, with all love in my heart, you have to deal with yourself. Use this time to deal with yourself, to change you, to maybe see what you're like when you're off the booze or you're off the drugs or you're off the, you know, TV programs or whatever. Can you sit in a room with yourself quietly for 45 minutes, an hour? Just sit there and be alone with yourself. Be alone with your thoughts. Be alone with everything that you think of as yourself. Can you just sit there and be alone? Just look at it. Just watch and see. See what comes into your mind. Get a pad and paper and just close your eyes. And when thoughts come by, start writing them down real quickly. This is mirror work we do in Meditation 2 class, where you gaze into the mirror and write down every single thought that crosses your mind. When you do these kind of exercises, you start to realize what's going through your mind and what's pandering through your thinking, and then you can kind of understand why you act and react maybe the way you do, and maybe that'll help you, maybe. Thomas, thank you for your beautiful question. Please forgive me. Namaste. go and get your free copy of the journal, and maybe you will find something in there that I've written that will be of service to you. At least I hope so. That's the whole idea of it all. Every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, we meet on Zoom, and we have a little discourse from me and question and answer and discussion. So if you have any questions, please submit them now. If you like, greg@aspire.org. That's greg@aspire.org. Any question, go take a look at the website. It'll give you our theme for the week, and you can be with us. I'd love to meet you. Either online or in person. That'd be good. Have a beautiful day. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.